Good morning. Welcome to Mountain Money. Nothing like a fresh little coat of snow, even if it's only an inch, to dress things up.
It is looking like winter out there, and it is definitely feeling like winter out there.
This is Larry Warren along with Doug Wells, and it's Mountain Money, and thanks for joining us. Cold, yes. High of 21 today. Enjoy that, because it'll be 2 tonight and minus 5 tomorrow night. Chance of snow, good chance of snow. Spitting today and tomorrow. Not huge accumulations, but it's all good. And I was out skiing yesterday and Saturday, Doug, once at each resort, and I was pleasantly surprised. Coverage is pretty good.
It's very good. The quality of the product was good. You were at the Celebrity Ski Fest, weren't you?
Yeah, and that's always great fun, and how Deer Valley kicks off the season every year. And if you want to see that and you weren't there in person, I think it's next Sunday afternoon on CBS. Look for the Deer Valley Celebrity Ski Classic benefiting the Waterkeepers Alliance. So let's talk about today's show. We have standing by on the line Toby Stanger, and Toby is the senior money editor of Consumer Reports magazine. We call Consumer Reports quite frequently, because they have great straight-down-the-middle advice and information about so many things that we spend money on. And Toby has written the cover story called The New Retirement, Rules, Tools, and Attitudes You Need Now, whether you're in your 20s, 40s, or 60s. And I think that also applies to whether you're in your 30s, 50s, or 70s. So
it certainly does. As we're going to talk to him, one of the keys is starting early to plan for retirement. Toby's going to talk about that, as well as give us some sneak peeks into some other pieces of advice. Larry, as you know, this is my business as well. So I'm looking forward to our chat with Toby. Our second guest is going to be a KPCW regular. She is Jude Robinson. She is John Wells' co-host on Fridays with the Morning Mix at 9 a.m. on Friday, right here on KPCW. Her full-time job is helping folks choose a franchise if they're interested in franchising, and we're going to find out more about that. And then our final guest is John Weisberg. John retired from a career in corporate public relations, and he's now the founder and editor of SeniorSkiing.com. And we're going to find out more about what SeniorSkiing.com does from John. You're listening to Mountain Money on this cold Monday morning. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Tom Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We are committed to serving Park City and are proud supporters of KPCW. More information at bhhsutah.com or one of our 24 offices throughout Summit and Wasatch counties.
Mountain Money on KPCW is sponsored in part by Columbus Pacific Properties, presenting Viridian, 21 new residences along the 11th fairway of the Canyons Golf Course, with year-round amenities and gondola access. Summers on the fairway, winters on the slopes. More information at ViridianParkCity.com.
And welcome back to Mountain Money, and I want to welcome on the air Toby Stanger, the senior money editor of Consumer Reports magazine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, glad to have you. And before we get started, I know Doug Wells will not toot his own horn, so I'll toot it for him. He's actually been interviewed in the last few days by one of the editors of Consumer Reports for a future issue. So Doug knows what he's talking about in this area. And let's dive into this cover story, The New Retirement. Now, what I always hear is that Americans, by and large, are not ready to retire, and they're going to be shocked by how little money they have and how much they need. Is that pretty much the case?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. We survey our readers, and our readers in general seem to be in better shape. But yeah, there are many surveys that mention how little Americans have for retirement. What we are trying to show in this piece on the new retirement in Consumer Reports is that there are still ways to pivot way up into retirement. Even it gets harder, but that at each stage there are things you can do that can improve your chances to have a better retirement. Obviously, when you're very young, as you mentioned, saving very early is really key.
And, you know, the first sentence of your article says, everything you thought you knew about retirement has changed, but it's never too late to pivot to a new approach. So we will talk about the pivoting first. But first off, what has changed over the way our parents retired?
Well, of course, pensions are not there the way they used to be. The 401k is far more popular among employers. But the interesting thing about the 401k is that it has changed quite a bit. It's developed, it's gotten better. Some of that had to do with regulation. Some of that had to do with the marketplace. So there are better opportunities to save more in a 401k than there used to be. You will find less costly investments that make it a little easier. The target date funds, for example, which are mixes of typically of index funds that are low cost, means you don't have to rebalance yourself. They rebalance as you get toward retirement. There are also defaults. When you become a new employee in a lot of companies, they immediately put a percentage of your income into a 401k. Now, of course, you can opt out of that, but the jumpstart is going to help a lot more people down the road.
I remember early in my career, the 401k was brand new, and employees without the sophistication of financial planners suddenly were their own financial planners, and you were given a mind-boggling list of funds to choose from. And I don't think the average employee had a clue what funds to pick. And that,
I think that's, yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people who had set money aside early in 401ks just shot themselves in the foot repeatedly with high-fee funds and the wrong funds, because they're just, they're picking from a list and without really knowing what they're doing. So that's better now.
Absolutely. And, you know, a long time ago, 401ks, you know, a lot of people put their money into their company's stock. And, you know, that's really not a wise thing to do.
You're already invested in that company by with your career. Exactly.
Right.
Well, Larry, you bring up a really good point in the impact of not knowing what to do and choosing the wrong funds is really quite substantial. There's a third-party think tank called Dalbar, and they do studies, and really their fertile ground is everybody's 401ks. And what they found is the average investor choosing from a group of funds, the funds themselves in aggregate did about what the market did. But the average investor choosing amongst those funds did about half of that.
Ouch.
If you do that for 1 year, it's painful, but it's probably not going to change your retirement. If you do that over 20 years, it's going to have a huge impact on your retirement. So education is really important with 401ks. Toby, you bring up a good point that it's a lot better today than it was. The 401k plans are required to share with you what the fees are. I advise people to read that at least once every couple years. The fees can be more expensive than people think heading in. But Toby, let's start with the basics. I like how you opened the article talking about a person that's now in his 60s and is kind of struggling, is for the most part living off of Social Security. There's several reasons for that, but one is the individual really did not start saving for retirement until 40. When should people start saving for retirement?
As soon as you get a paycheck, you should start saving for retirement. My daughter started working at the mall at 17, and I actually helped her out with a Roth IRA. She didn't qualify for a 401k because you typically have to be a full-time employee, I think. But I got her started with a Roth, and you could put a certain amount in. That is the great thing about a Roth, by the way, is that, yes, you pay the taxes on the money now before you put it into the account, but after that, you don't pay any taxes on it ever. And it grows tremendously. And so for young people, a Roth, either a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k are really terrific ways to start saving. And we recommend you start saving and you just never stop. And ideally, 10 to 15% of your income, if you budget it and make it part of your, you know, just the way you're going to do business within your life, you won't miss it and it will build dramatically.
I'm just chuckling over the thought of mom encouraging 16-year-old not to spend all of the money she made.
Toby's a smart mom. Toby, you know these, and these are just rough rules of thumb. If when you're 18, you start putting money into a Roth IRA, let's say $2,000 a year from 18 to 30, when you're 30 years old, you could stop, and somebody that starts at 30 puts in $2,000 a year until they're 65. Larry, when they're 65 years old, who has more money, the person that started at 18 and stopped at 30 or the other person?
The 12-year invested versus the 20 or 30-year invested.
Because you have the power of your money working for you. Toby, you're a wise mother to do that. I do that with my kids as well. The Roth IRA, you have to have earned income. But if your teenage kids have earned income, it's a very powerful strategy to let that money grow tax-free for 50 years.
Yeah, I was, and now that she's where she's got a full-time job now, and I'm encouraging her again, and all her friends who are out of college. It's hard for the millennials. They're in debt. They have college debt. But we do in Consumer Reports recommend that they try to put some aside for retirement. And hopefully once they have completed paying their college debt, some of those payments can be redirected toward retirement and, you know, to other things like buying a house. But that to get in that habit is extremely important. What's interesting, I just want to mention about millennials, is they are actually, when they are offered a 401k, they actually do save. They're actually pretty good savers. They get it. And maybe it's because they grew up during the recession. They get that they have to save. But in a lot of places, there are no 401ks. And so there are efforts in some states to encourage employers to create 401ks through a state plan. But also you can, you know, there are other ways to save, if you don't have a 401k. But it's really important to get started.
So,
early.
Toby, let's talk about saving. There's a rule of thumb out there, 10%, save 10%. Is that enough with this new retirement reality?
Well, it's a start. It's very hard for people often to get beyond that. The older you are and the less you have saved, the more you are going to have to put away. You get a catch up if you're 50 and older. We recommend that in 2017 you'll be able to put in $6,500 total into an IRA and $24,000 into 401k. Now that's a lot more than most. $24,000 is a lot more than most people would save, but as you get older, you're going to have to put in more, unfortunately.
Now, you say, and it's the reality, that companies don't have pension plans anymore. And for that matter, people don't stay at companies their entire lives anyway. But pensions were great for the boomer generation and the generation before. And you say there is an alternative to craft your own pension-like steady payout, and it's an annuity. Now, I've always heard you should run from annuities. So how do you justify recommending annuities as a way to go for a fixed income benefit?
So the research that's coming out shows that there is a benefit to certain types of annuities. A variable annuity, some of these more complex products, yes, stay away from. They're very expensive. If you don't understand them, stay away. But there are some simple annuities. There's something called an immediate annuity. So if you're 65 and you really want to guarantee income, you could put a portion of your income or a portion of your savings into an immediate annuity for current income. Or what's even more efficient, if you want to ensure that you have money way out in retirement, say 85 and older, a deferred annuity is a very good way to do that. There's one study that shows that putting only about 15% of your current assets towards such an annuity would completely pay your expenses by the time you're 85, when it starts to pay out. But you have to look at the costs. You know, not every annuity is the same, and you have to find the lower cost ones.
So, Toby, your caution is excellent. Annuities are expensive. They often lock you in for a period of time. They have penalties to get out of. So you do have to be extremely careful, which brings me to another point in your article, which is the importance of working with somebody that's a fiduciary for you. How does the average consumer find out whether the advisor they're working with is a fiduciary for them or merely an employee or somebody trying to sell a firm's products?
Good, very good question. So there are certain types of financial advisors who are required by their certification to be fiduciaries. One of those is a certified financial planner. Another is a registered investment advisor. There is a rule that the Department of Labor has put out that would require all people, all advisors who work with retirement accounts to be fiduciaries. I'm not sure how that's going to play out under the new administration, but there is nothing to stop you from asking your advisor, are you a fiduciary, and can you put that in writing? Typically, stockbrokers are not bound by the same standard, but it doesn't, you know, maybe they will be willing to work with you as a fiduciary. You have to ask and get it in writing. Right now, stockbrokers, for example, have to offer what is considered suitable, which means it might match your goals, it might match your time frame, it might match your risk, your tolerance for risk. But they could also choose something that pays them handsomely versus something else that's similar and pays less, which leaves more money in your pocket. So being a fiduciary means they have to put your interest first, and that's super important.
Yeah, I want to stress that there's two high-level standards. One is a fiduciary, and one is, as you pointed out, Toby, suitability. Suitability is a huge, is wide-open standard. I heard somebody say the other day the suitability standard is so wide that if it's not suitable, it's probably illegal. That's how wide that standard is. And I'm glad to hear you chuckle because they said it, they meant to say it tongue-in-cheek. And I'm glad that came across. The fiduciary is very different. That person has to put your interest first and foremost and in front of theirs. And one thing I'd add to what Toby shared is to look for somebody that's what's called a fee-only financial advisor. You know, we're talking about being careful and making wise decisions. Unfortunately, there are still scams out there in the financial world. You list several in your article. Talk to us about one or two that are important.
Yeah, so one of them is a scam with veterans, where a veteran who's over 65 might be offered an opportunity to qualify for what's called an enhanced pension with aid and attendance. And this person may say, you know, I can help you get this. And it turns out that this is only, that there are only very specific people who qualify for this benefit. And you don't have to pay to get help to find out whether you're, whether you qualify. So you really can, you can go to the VA's online benefits portal, which is ebenefits.va.gov. And they'll help you fill out, there'll be assistance in helping you fill out the right form. But just be aware that it's not that easy to get. So that's one of them. There's others where a pump and dump where a telemarketer might call a senior and try to sell them a stock that they say is really going to do well, and it turns out to be a rather thinly traded stock that probably isn't such a good investment. And you really should research all your securities through independent sources like Morningstar or Yahoo.com has a finance department. And be very cautious about anything that's foreign or offshore.
Yeah, you know, the whole pump and dump thing, I'm just shocked that it still exists. That's one of the oldest games in the industry. It's been going on for at least 100 years. For a long time, actually, it was not illegal in the United States. I believe it was in the 30s or the 40s where it finally became illegal because of that. But, you know, the best thing to do if you get a phone call from somebody promoting a stock is probably just hang up the phone. So, Toby, let's switch gears. We're talking about things to do to prepare for retirement. There's a large portion of the population where, you know, pretty much they are where they are. If people's accounts are not where they'd like them to like the accounts to be, but they're getting close to retiring, what are some things that they can do to enhance their retirement?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to understand how to collect Social Security. Social Security is an annuity. It's a guaranteed annuity. It probably is the only thing you can find in the market these days that is so secure and will basically offer an 8% return the longer you wait to take it. So if there's a way for you to structure your finances, and you can work with a financial advisor on this, so that you delay taking Social Security, you will get more later, and it's really a great benefit. It's sort of a lot of people know it, but a lot of people still don't know it, that delaying Social Security is really key. You can delay up to age 70, and the difference between taking it at age 66, which is when people are now taking it, when this is now the current full retirement age, and taking it at 70, it's like a 32% difference in the payout that you can get. But if you're a couple, there are different strategies you need to think about. So it may be wise to talk with a financial planner, or there actually are online services that can help you for not very much money to determine the best way to take it.
You know, Toby, I hate to ask this question because we're running out of time and it's a big question, but you talk about pivoting. Never too late to pivot if you're going off in the wrong direction. So let's just talk about people who are 40s and up. What sorts of pivots are available to jumpstart retirement plans?
So that would be sort of Generation X and up. I mean, one thing, as I mentioned, was just to try to save as much as possible and make it a regular thing. It is a good idea to go visit a financial advisor the closer you get to retirement, even if you're just going for a checkup. And on a regular basis, if you find that a financial advisor is going to be too costly, there are robo-advisors. I don't know that I'd recommend them for people after retirement, but in order to help build your retirement portfolio, these can be ways. These are sort of computer algorithms that can help you allocate your money. I recommend really looking at your debt carefully and trying very hard to get out of debt. It really, you know, there are arguments for having debt in retirement, but if the market goes sour, you're really in trouble. So I would put debt really up there next to savings.
You know, you even talk about some more creative things, especially another trend you cite is that, not as many people are selling out and moving to the Sun Belt. They're staying put in their homes. And another is especially single women are finding having a female roommate is in the big house they've kept is not a bad idea. In addition to the income, there's the social aspect of that. And even late in life, there are pivots available, but they may not be what you want to do at 65, go back to college days and have a roommate. But
well, the people that I interviewed, you know, they had roommates who were their age, and they found there was a lot of companionship in those relationships and safety. So there's all kinds of, you know, ways to look at it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks very much for joining us. We've been talking with Toby Stanger, senior money editor of Consumer Reports magazine, and the cover story for the January issue is The New Retirement Rules, Tools, and Attitudes You Need Now, whether you're in your 20s, 40s, or 60s. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Toby, thanks for joining us. We appreciate that. Always great advice from our friends over at Consumer Reports. You want to listen, you want to stay tuned to Mountain Money. Up next is Jude Robinson, and she is an expert on franchise businesses. You're listening to Mountain Money. We'll be back in a moment. Please.
This is Matt Mitten, attorney with Jones Waldo, a Park City law firm. Longtime supporters of KPCW, our firm provides estate planning and other personal legal services to residents of Summit County and beyond. We are online at joneswaldo.com and 435-200-0085.
Gordo here.
And I'm Larry with All Resort Group, a proud sponsor of KPCW.
Since 1974, we've been part of this community with shared ride, private van, and SUV service for our customers.
Reservations available at allresort.com or 649-3999.
We move people.
Welcome back to Mound Money. In studio with us now, we have Jude Robinson, who is a pro at the studio. She is here every Friday morning with John Wells for their show, The Morning Mix. But we're going to talk to Jude about something different this morning. She's an expert on various franchises and helps people choose which one might be right for them. Jude, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. And I hope that the pro is not an overstatement as far as being on the radio, but thank you very much.
I know the feeling. I do this part-time as well. Larry is the pro in the room this morning, as is Bob working behind the board today.
Both have been amazing mentors and support.
But one area you definitely are a pro at is franchising and franchisors. It's something that most people only go through once in their life. You do it multiple times a year,
yes.
Probably a couple dozen. Tell us what you do.
Well, I help individuals understand exactly what is expected. So it's really about helping them figure out their expectations so that they can find the best fit. And then I curate the franchise opportunities. I have just a few that I work with, and my best advertisement is word of mouth. So making sure that a person is happy and successful, not just through the transaction, but for the entire life of their company, and able to really pivot from that space, and then again, ultimately sell it and have an asset.
So is there a typical person you work with? Is this somebody who's had a different career and wants to change and be their own boss, pretty much?
I work with a lot of executives and veterans. Typically, someone who's coming through a career with a corporation has the ability to really follow a plan and stick to it. They know how to lead. The same thing with veterans, and they want to create a space in a community. So that's where we connect. I don't work with independent entrepreneurs very often.
So let's talk about these transitioning corporate individuals. Because I've had a couple people come to me from corporate America saying, I'm thinking of doing a franchise, and ask me to do kind of a financial analysis of the deal, if you will. And the first place I start is, this is a very different business than what you were doing. Oftentimes they're fast food type franchises. Maybe they're located in a mall. They've been working with people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. They're professionals. They all have college degrees. Oftentimes in a franchise, you're in the service business, and your team, your employees, might be high school kids, might be very young people early in their career. And that's where I tell them to start thinking is, think about the team that you're going to be working with. Think about the support that you're going to have. It's very different than what you're doing now. How do you help folks decide whether that transition is a match for them or not?
Well, you bring up a lot of great points. So let me just start at the top and then I'll go through. So in summary, the first thing is food. If somebody is thinking about doing a food franchise, and I don't do a lot of food, but it is a great opportunity for the right person. But typically I would want that person to be able to buy multiple units. And the other side of that, just to look forward at the bookend of what you said, is the employees and staffing. That is critical. And as I stated before, having someone be thrilled that they did it and make a profit and really serve the community, you've got to have somebody in there who knows how to bring people in. So that would be an outsourced group that I work with that has been remarkable at helping the franchise owners put people into place. And it's very inexpensive because typically
I mean, it's
a franchise.
Completely different mindset. I mean, when you're looking for a location, not only do you want a place that people visit, but you better hope it's on the bus line because a lot of your employees are probably going to be taking the
food,
bus.
Yes, food, if you're talking food. There are so many different types of franchises now. And looking at the demographics, the way that they have been and the shifts that are occurring, their millennials will be an amazing group to begin working with. Real estate will not be as much of an issue with the millennials because they're going to be looking at service-based and moving into an end cap with the Costco. They know they have just a different mindset when it comes to how to make it happen. They do a lot of things online, but they don't want to have to think it all through for themselves. But then when it comes to seniors, there's a lot of services for seniors that will need to be created and put into and made available. And those are not always with a real estate space as well.
Yeah, you alluded to it that you don't have to think everything through necessarily if you get a franchise because a lot of the hard work of figuring out how to make the business work is done for you. But if you're of an entrepreneurial mindset and want to get your own business, why not just start your own business and do not, you know, don't have a copy company franchise, just open a copy shop. I mean, what's the advantage
of
going with a franchise of something that you may well have the ability to start from scratch?
And another great point, and if you're an entrepreneur thinking, I think I'll do a copy shop, entrepreneurs have squirrel syndrome, shiny object, and they might want to do a copy center and think, that's a great idea, but when it comes to putting it together, lack the ability to stick to a plan and lack the resources to bring in suppliers and also hire employees and getting hung up on all of those things that really do require muscle. They require you to build a business muscle. And for the entrepreneurs, I will suggest they buy a franchise. Should they, you know, we try to find a right fit for them and then become profitable, learning how to run a business, own and operate a business, use that profit to do their startup. Because right now there's zero barrier to entry as far as business, which means there's a whole lot of nonsense out there.
So Jude, did I hear you right? Your suggestion to many of your clients is to buy an operating franchise as opposed to a greenfield, a new location.
Potentially. So I need to look at each person fills out a buyer profile, their business profile, and we look at what they're doing presently, what they've done, and we leverage all of their skills and experience and knowledge in order to create a situation for them that will get them kicked off within, it's really a difficult 2 years. It's not to say by any stretch that this is a cakewalk, but in a regular startup, for most people, you've got a good 5 to 15 years with no guarantee. You should have a very clear plan and have your expectations. So oftentimes it's talking people who are incredibly intelligent, have a great background, talking them off the ledge when they get in front of a franchise representative broker who has a really slick story. And so moving into that conversation, helping them to not get their hearts broken, have their expectations set up, be realistic, bringing them back down to earth, saying this is great, we want them to support in these areas, but these are the measures that you're going to want to see before we go in. Make sure that you're using the measuring stick that makes sense, not hope. And then we follow that, so we create a plan to really measure.
Yeah, hope is a horrible strategy.
It is. I've read the book.
It's a wonderful characteristic to have, but it's a horrible strategy. So you're curating from the literally thousands of franchises that are out there. Is your short list a dozen franchises? Is it 50? How big is your list?
Well, I am growing right now, but I would say it's really about 50. And if those that I'm working with do not perform, if there is something that we learn later on then they don't make the cut. And again, I don't know if I said that just now or if it was speaking just before this, but word of mouth is the most efficient form of advertising. And if people I work with are not truly thrilled, then it's a problem.
So we're all familiar with the food franchises because mm-hmm. we visit them. What are some other broad categories of franchises?
There are types of franchises that are long-term are things that require tax preparation or personal care, like hair cutting. Food is great depending on whether, you know, there are certain types of food franchises. And again, if you wanted to buy a lot of them at one time, multiple units. Other franchises that are sustainable, things to do with elder care right now.
There's going to be more of those all the time.
Right. Transporting. I've got a franchise that you kind of set up the transportation from someone leaving their rehab facility and moving through different processes. And they don't actually have any one-on-one contact. They facilitate.
Okay, one of the big hang-ups you point out is the cost of real estate. So are there low-cost at-home? I mean, it's the dream of a lot of people to work at home. Are there at-home franchise opportunities?
Absolutely, but again, on that, I would want to make sure that the person that I'm working with has the ability to manage their time and work from home and be doing, you know, moving through their processes, because working in a silo does not work. Having that dream of having all the time, your time gets sucked up.
That's what I've heard, is those who do work at home miss the socialization,
yes.
miss mixing with other people and being out in the world.
Yep, that's very true. It's you get energy from being around other people, and anybody that thinks they can do it all themselves or should be able to do it all themselves is wrong.
So Jude, we need to wrap up, but in the green room, you were teasing Larry and I about a M&A group that's coming here. There's not a whole lot you can tell us now, but give us the overview. What's going on? What should we be looking forward to?
Because I'm more interested in building communities and working, as I said, with veterans, and I've got a veterans event I do want to mention. It's coming up on the 13th at the American Legions in Salt Lake, and that is well, you can contact me at judejude@juderobinson.me. Heyjude@juderobinson.me, and I'll shoot you some information. But the M&A group is just to really help people soup to nuts, from getting in to getting out and being able to leverage your investment.
All right, very fine. Our guest this morning has been Jude Robinson. You can catch her this Friday as well with John Wells on her show, The Morning Mix. More importantly, if you're thinking of opening a franchise, you should definitely chat with Jude and get some counsel and advice and see if she might be a match for your search. Jude, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And John Weisberg, who is the editor and founder of seniorsskiing.com, is going to come in next to talk about what you can find on his website after this.
This is Brooks, commercial lender for Mountain West Bank. We are proud to support Mountain Money on KPCW, but not responsible for the opinions of Larry or Doug. Our community is unique, and so are Park City businesses. We offer loan solutions to help your business succeed. Mountain West Bank, Kearns Boulevard, next to the theaters. 649-3369, Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Matt from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of contemporary and mountain modern home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake and offer complete design services. We are on the web at sanfrandesign.com. San Francisco Design, love your home.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. We have John Weisberg in studio now. He's the founder and the editor of seniorsskiing.com. I've been looking at it lately, John. It's
excellent.
A rather rich website of information, and let's talk about some of the things. First of all, though, I met you long ago. You had retired and moved to Pinebrook.
That's correct.
And apparently idle minds need outlets.
Yes.
And this is one of many you've had. I've run into you on several occasions with various projects you've had. But what got you into seniors skiing as an idea for a website?
Well, you know, being a senior, and at the time, first of all, seniorskiing.com is for people, it's oriented to people who are 50 plus, and our average age is about 67. But at the time, you know, I'm a dedicated skier, have been all of my life.
Came out of the corporate PR world.
I came out of the agency PR and then corporate PR world in New York City, right? And I grew up on the East Coast, and I started skiing when I was 10 years old. And I think about skiing all the time. It is my passion. So being that when we moved out here, I was skiing a lot. And midweek, you know, everybody on the lift, it seemed, was my age, a contemporary. So I began to realize that here in this youth-oriented industry where everything is hucking cliffs and speed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, who's paying attention to the older skier? So I thought about this, discussed it on the lift. The lift was sort of my focus group, discussed it on the lift with people, you know, all over the place. And then my partner, I have a partner in this, my co-publisher, Mike McGinn, who's outside of Boston, he called one day. We know each other from college and, you know, we're chatting, and he also is in a state of semi-retirement, a consultant. I still consult within the pharmaceutical industry. And I said, what do you think of this? He says, let me think about it for a couple of days. It was the next morning that he called back, said, I'm in. So it's really a labor of love.
So does he cover the East and you cover the West?
Well, actually, we have, he covers the more of the technology side of it, you know, of the back office part of it, as well as a lot of the editorial matter. We have about, depending on the time of year, anywhere from 10 to 15 contributors who are mostly in the United States, but it's online. So we have subscribers, free, you know, it's a free subscription, who come to us from all over the place, Australia, Japan, I mean, you name it, they're all over the place. And when people do come in and they give us their email address, not only do they have access to the free site itself, but they have access to all kinds of information assets that we've developed specifically for older skiers. And they also get access to things like the Experticity Pro Motive discounts, the same kinds of pro deals that that you know members of PSIA and NSA get. So we try to provide value in our weekly editorial packages that we publish throughout the year.
So is this a hobby or a business or a hobby trying to become a business?
Well, Larry, it's interesting. We're entering our third season right now. It's our third year. And the first 2 years, it was funded, you know, by us, by Mike and myself. Now it is self, you know, it's funded by advertisers.
So now it's advertising.
It's
based.
Advertisers, okay. Right? And what we're doing. This is a financial show, so what we're doing is we're building up our opt-in database, the people who give us their email addresses. And there's a point where that will be. It's getting substantial, but it was a point where it will be substantial enough where it will show up on the radar screens of advertisers from the financial services and travel services, automobiles and the like. We're not there yet. Right now we have specialty kinds of advertisers, you know, realty and devices that are used in skiing and other such things.
So what kind of editorial content is there that's senior oriented? Skiing is skiing, but not really.
Right.
There's senior skiing.
Yeah, exactly. So everything that we look at deals with snow sports, non-mechanized snow sports. So it's primarily alpine skiing, and there's some cross country, actually a substantial amount of cross country. We'd like to get more snowshoeing in there. But everything that we look at, resorts, well, it's through the lens of the older skiers. So we have, we have sort of a format for reviewing resorts in terms of discounts, something that our readers tell us they're very interested in terms of instruction or workshops that deal with older skiers, in terms of ease of access from the parking lot to the lift, and in terms, frankly, of the Lou reviews. You know, how nice are those bathrooms? Because I think all of us here are probably within the same cohort, and you can appreciate that you want to go into a nice into a nice bathroom environment. But that would be a review of a ski area. But you know, we have information for grandparents. Yeah, things that they can do with their grandchildren.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those. Please. So Larry knows I'm fairly frugal. I'm also over 50 now, so I qualify for
your
group.
Geez, you don't look that way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And as I get older, I have more friends that are interested in deals as well. When I first moved out here 20 years ago, I believe I could have skied for free at Alta when I turned 70. I think that's now 80.
It's now 80, and you need a note from your mother.
And a note from my mom. Where can I look forward to skiing for free the earliest? What's the resort in the U.S. that lets seniors ski for free?
Okay,
the
that's a good question. Last year, we published the first list of all the resorts in America, in the United States, and the threshold age where older people can ski free. And we're about to publish that. An update on that list with 108 areas on it, and the youngest is 60. I mean, I've never heard of the place where you can go ski. Actually, it's in Alaska. It's Mount Arriak or something in Alaska, 60 years of age. And then for some reason that I cannot understand, there's one or two where you have to be, and they're small places, you've got to be 90. I mean, who cares, right? Most of the free skiing, it clusters around the age of 70, which is very good because, you know, there's a lot of people who are in their 70s who are active skiers.
What about the grandparent thing? You know, skiing is an awesome sport. There's very few athletic activities that you can do with a 6-year-old and a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old and have fun together. So what are some resorts that are particularly good for taking your grandkids to?
Yeah, I that's a hard question for me to answer. I'm not sure I can. I've observed some characteristics of resorts that would satisfy or answer that question. And I think places that have where the hill basically funnels down into a consolidated condo community where there's a commercial area where it's not spread out too much. I observed this a few years ago at Purgatory. It seemed like it's not too big a hill, and it all comes down into one place. I think that that provides some comfort.
There's security there in knowing you're not going to get too separated.
Exactly. So, but I'd like to be able to answer the question, but I really can't. And maybe we should look at those areas that have those characteristics and other characteristics that would be good.
I just presume, and there may not be demographics, maybe there are that you know about, that, you know, we're healthier these days. People live longer. They live more active lives. So is the senior skier a growing demographic?
It is a growing demographic, Larry. Although it's growing on the
because there's baby boomers and there's more of them. But I mean, are there more older people skiing than there used to be?
Well, I don't know what the numbers were like in the past, but there's three factors that deal with technology that do help attract and keep older skiers in, and they're sort of obvious. One of them is medical technology, with all of the implants and the things that deal with our systems. And one is ski technologies. All of us have enjoyed the benefits of ski design and boot design that make it easier to do. And then what the areas are doing with the snow and grooming, et cetera, that makes the whole experience a lot more welcoming. It's not all, I don't know how many people listening are aware of Mad River Glen, which doesn't groom its trails up in northern Vermont, but it's not the old it's not our grandparents' form of skiing anymore. So it's a much more welcoming environment that helps older folks, to participate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the site is, again, seniors skiing or senior?
It's seniors. S-E-N-I-O-R-S. And then skiing, skiing.com. Wish we had a better name because some people don't like to be identified as seniors. But that boat left several years ago. So we're having a good time with it. I invite anyone listening to give us a visit, and it's very rich with content.
Well, I think you're filling a niche that hadn't been filled before.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree, and the feedback that we get from our readers and our subscribers is just remarkable. Very high level of engagement. When we do reader surveys, we get the responses of 28%, which is unheard of for an online publication.
People are passionate about their sports, so
I
think you've got a nice niche there. John, we thank you for coming in. Our guest has been John Weisberg, and he is the founder of seniorskiing.com.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to wrap up Mountain Money in just 30 seconds.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air, Cruise, and Travel. 565-4730, ParkCityAirCruiseAndTravel.com. Park City Bike Demos, Kearns Boulevard next to Adolph's, ParkCityBikeDemos.com. Long, Reimer, Weiniger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Well, welcome back to Mountain Money. Glad you were with us. Interesting show this morning, Doug.
Yeah, well, anytime we get to talk about encouraging people to save sooner and save more, it's a good morning.
And I want to thank our guest, Toby Stanger, spoke to that issue from Consumer Reports. Jude Robinson hooks people up with the right franchise for them. And John Weisberg founded Seniors Skiing, Seniors with an S, skiing.com, and you can subscribe, and it is a free subscription. They just want to encourage people to sign up, so all the content on there is free.
Well, like all our Mondays, we had some great guests, and we have great sponsors to thank for supporting us. We want to thank Mountain West Bank, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, Jones Waldo, Holbrook and McDonough, All Resort Group, Park City Mountain, and Apex Residences, and Viridian Park City, Columbia Pacific Properties.
Yeah, and we don't have much time left, but I wanted to just talk about one, and we'll save the other for later, but a new report is out, Wallet Hub, and they study charge card receipts, I think, and they have found that Utah, pat ourselves on the back, is the most generous state in America. In terms of volunteerism, in terms of the amount of money we donate to causes, in terms of the percentage of the population who claim to have donated time and claim to have donated money.
Utah leads
the pack.
We've talked about it multiple times on this show, particularly Park City, right? We all have our passions. We all do a little bit to move the needle, and collectively as a community, it makes Park City a much better place to live.
And Utah has a jump on that whole category because of the LDS Church and the faithfulness of members and their tithing to the church. But clearly in Park City, it carries over here. And there is no event like Live PC, Give PC. That is just an amazing day of giving.
It was very impressive.
And that will wrap up Mountain Money for today. Thanks so much for joining us. We're heading to a high of 21 degrees only today and a low of 2. So dress warm. This is KPCW Park City.